Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
Welcome back to Pomp and Joe, the first part of the show. Pomp, well, he is down at Steelers headquarters getting ready to introduce Mike Tomlin. And we will carry the Tomlin presser in its entirety as soon as Bob makes the handoff to the Steelers coach. In the meantime, story of the day by far is Cam Hayward on his podcast. Asked by, is he going to be there for week one? Are you going to play week one? We'll see. And that comes on the heels of Adam Schefter saying a couple times in recent days, look, this story is far from finished here. Let's see if Cam shows up Wednesday. Cabali was on with the morning show saying, listen, he's practiced all these other days, including yesterday, according to Cabali. So his feeling is, why wouldn't he practice Wednesday? Yes, he'll play. I think he will. But it's come down, I think, to a decision on Cam's part. Is he going to follow through on his own words of, it's really hard for me to justify playing on this deal, as compared to, what about my legacy? What about my reputation? What about the fan reaction, which has been a negative, would be kind to say that. So we'll see how that story plays out. And then, as always, Tomlin will start out with injuries. So we'll hear about, the likes of Alex Highsmith. I'm assuming things are okay with him, limits. Sayamalo, I'm assuming everything is good. Who else? Herbig? Who else am I forgetting here? Anybody else injured and out right now that we're wondering about?
I mean, those are the main guys that were bruised, beaten up a little bit.
Derek Harmon is the big one.
Yeah, Derek Harmon. But I think we all know he's out. Tom was going to basically give the
injury. Is he leaving the light on for him?
I don't think he's going to.
I think he's going to leave the light on for Derek Harmon.
I think Tomlin's going to give the excuse of, hey, we don't want to throw him on the moving train after not practicing very much this week or in the last couple of weeks.
Well, that'll be an interesting piece of this. And then he will extol the virtues of the New York Jets, who are a bottom-feeding NFL team, one of the few in the AFC that's gone longer without a playoff win than the Steelers. And they're right down there with the Saints and the Browns and the Panthers. We're talking dregs of the NFL are the New York Jets. But that doesn't mean that they don't have some upper-end talent. Obviously they do, in Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner. I think Breece Hall is a really good player. And then the Steelers going against Justin Fields is a huge storyline. And man, it's got to be an advantage to have had him last season, right? I would think that would be an advantage for Tomlin, for Terrell Austin, and for the Steelers defense to know a guy that well. What a matchup it is of quarterbacks, both wanting to prove their former organizations wrong, both, I'm sure, wanting to make those organizations look bad. And obviously the biggest story of all is Aaron Rodgers going back to New York. Limits, what are you pointing at in there? What are you watching so excitedly?
Oh, Andy Lindberg just came in.
What did he say?
We're just discussing when the Tomlin press conference is about to begin. We think it's still going to be another couple minutes.
The Washington Post ranked Tomlin as the NFL coach most at risk heading into the 25 season. Does anybody tell them anything about what's happening here? They must be out of their minds. What are they talking about? When's the last time the Jets won a playoff game, Limits?
2010.
Wrong. 2010.
Yep. Who they played in the AFC Championship that year?
Yeah, wrong. I do.
The Steelers.
You know who had the best game of his career, in my humble opinion, that game?
Please tell me.
Wrong. Rashard Mendenhall.
Yeah. He did have a really good game.
The Steelers pounded them in the first half of that game.
Go on to the Super Bowl and fumble.
That was a fun game, but Mr. Butt Fumble himself, he wasn't even Mr. Butt Fumble
Mr.
yet.
Butt Fumble.
He brought the Jets back. It looked like they were going to win that game, Limits, and I wonder what would have happened if they had gotten the ball one more time.
Looking back on it, can you really believe that Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez almost went to the Super Bowl?
No, but that was a
That's
very
wild.
Talented team. Bart Scott, they upset the Patriots. What happens if the Steelers have to play the Patriots in that AFC title game? I think bad things.
Bad things.
That wasn't Chapel Bill. That was Foxborough.
Let me ask you this. Would you have rather played the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, lost in the AFC Championship game, or lose to Green Bay in the Super Bowl?
No, you want to get to the Super Bowl limits.
Even if you lose in the Super Bowl?
Now your question's confusing me because we'd have to go back in time and redo everything. I don't know. I don't know what I'd rather. If you told me right now I could go to the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, I'd go to the Super Bowl.
Basically what I'm saying is the pain worse losing the Super Bowl by than losing in the AFC Championship game, even though it is the Patriots.
Yeah, you never recover.
Yeah.
The only time Troy Polamalu was ever kind of mad at any question I asked was when I asked him years later about the Green Bay Super Bowl. You know, it just sticks with you. They tell you forever.
The smile on Troy's face, did it immediately become a frown? Did he immediately have bad feelings now and bad emotions?
Yes, Limits. They lost the Super Bowl. Who's your all-time favorite Jet? Curtis Martin? Wrong.
Darrell Revis.
Darrell Revis is a good one.
Yeah, Al Capizone.
Aaron Glenn, their head coach, was a great Jet. He's on their all-time team. Him and Revis are the corners.
Curtis Martin, good pick.
Curtis Martin's a great pick. Joe Namath's not a bad pick, is
he? Oh, that's Ron's pick.
Why don't we get Joe Namath on the line for tomorrow, Limits? We have his number, don't we?
We do. I can attempt.
Yes, we will.
It was very difficult getting him the last time.
Yes, it was. It was very difficult getting him.
So we'll see if it's any easier this time around.
Now we've reached the point where I'm desperately buying time. Is Tomlin going to talk today? What is Bob doing?
Yeah,
is Bob going to hand off to him here? Is there a fumble on the exchange?
The problem
is he Mark Sanchez trying to hand him the ball?
Bob's not even talking.
What's he doing?
It's just a screen that says Mike Tomlin press conference.
And Bob's not buying time? I'm buying time
Bob
for
is no,
Bob?
Is not buying time yet, no.
Should we require Pomp to be in after this on Tuesdays? Or does he get the rest of the day off?
He could come on with us like at 1:15. I think he could.
I think it's the least he could do after monitoring this. Plus, he sits down with Tomlin to do his weekly show.
He sits down with Missy Matthews until 1 o'clock to discuss the press conference.
Bob's a very busy guy, isn't he?
He is. He was at a wedding over the weekend. I saw pictures that he posted. It was very nice.
At Nemacolin, I believe. Yeah. Yes.
What a wonderful man Bob is.
He certainly is.
Everyone could just be so lucky to be able to meet Bob, have a good interaction with Bob. I mean, we're fortunate enough to be friends with Bob. He's just a really good man. He everything that you believe in is what a person should be. Bob exemplifies.
I agree.
Now I'm glazing Bob, but as the young kids say.
I agree with all of that. Who has a better year, Justin Fields or Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers. Wrong. And if he does not have a better year than Justin Fields, oh boy. It's
gonna
the 5-win team.
It's going to be the Will Howard show by November.
If he's ever activated.
South. Yeah, if he's ever activated. How many games Mason Rudolph starts this year? Over, under 2.5?
Under. I think it's 1. I think Aaron plays 16 games.
I hope, obviously, that Rodgers stays healthy, but with this line, with two young players on his flanks and with a 41-year-old body, I'm just not, and some premier pass rushers to deal with, I'm not sure how realistic that is, Limits. I just don't think it's necessarily realistic.
I mean, I understand that. He's 41 years old. And look, do I want to compare him to Brady? No, but I mean, Brady did stay relatively healthy. Maybe it was the kale shakes and the workout diets.
It was his offensive line, and here's something that him and Rodgers do share, his football acumen. Like, he got rid of the ball.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what, I mean, Rodgers did that significantly with the Jets, whether it's dumping off to a back. Jonnu Smith could be huge in this offense just for that purpose, him and Freiermuth.
What's going on here, Limits? When are we coming on? What's Bob doing?
I just texted Kabali, what's going on here? And Kabali said that Tomlin is not in the room yet.
Maybe him and Cam are having a little powwow.
Could you imagine they're signing Cam's contract right now?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Good afternoon. I would like to start by saying Cam Hayward just signed his contract. He'll practice today. And
they everything don't have practice is, today, Limits.
All the excuses. Yeah, tomorrow. All the excuses are put to the side.
What day is this? Oh, yeah, Tuesday. It's Tuesday.
I've lost track as well.
Maybe he's getting injury updates. Maybe he's getting an update on the Jets. Now, they have some talent on defense, too. Really on all three levels on defense, but it didn't really translate in terms of points per game last year. They gave up, I think, almost 24 points a game. They're not very good. They stink.
Wrong.
You read all the football previews. Does anybody have them above 25th in the NFL in any sort of power ranking?
No, not really.
They stink.
No, they're not good. And part of that, I think, is first-year head coach. Quarterback, a lot of people don't believe in and hasn't proven it. offensive line that's very shaky. All the changes.
I don't agree with that. I think their offensive line is pretty good, especially on the interior. However, they have a rookie right tackle getting ready for a little dose of TJ Watt. That ain't good.
They got Olufashanu at left tackle. My guy from Penn State, former top pick.
He's very good. And they drafted a right tackle, correct?
They did. Yeah, Membu with the 7th pick.
Yeah, that's not going to go well for him, I don't think. If they fall behind, but what?
It's a rookie's first game, though. I mean, I would imagine that Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt should be able to have their way against him.
Yeah, that's what I just said. It's not
going to
go well for him, right?
Right. No,
yeah, he's a rookie in his first game against TJ Watt.
And that's why I think ultimately if the Steelers do not win the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, that's a problem. Like, they should be pushing around the Jets. Not like a high school team against a JV team or a 6A team against a 2A opponent. But the Steelers should be able to have their way.
I don't know that their offensive line is just going to push around the Jets, but they better win the game. The Jets have some pretty good players on their defensive front, you know.
Indeed. Indeed, they do. I do wonder, with the added, push of whether it be Jonnu Smith, Pat Freiermuth on the line of scrimmage, the different looks that they can show. I'm fascinated to see what the Arthur Smith offense is going to look like, Joe, because I don't really know what the Arthur Smith offense is yet.
I do. It's going to be a bunch of running, a bunch of play action, and not a lot of points. Whenever he doesn't have Derrick Henry in his offense, that's pretty much what it is, limits. We'll see, though. One thing Rodgers can do is get the ball down the field still. He didn't do it a ton last year, but when he did, he was pretty effective. However, he's become a lot more conservative, as evidenced by his yards per attempt last season. And that was pretty paltry. Plus, he gets rid of the ball fast, which can be a good thing or a bad thing, as we saw late in Ben's career. Can be good or bad. This is unbelievable.
Bob is currently filling time right now.
It's 2:11, and Bob still hasn't handed off to Tomlin?
No, Bob is currently filling some time.
Well, if anybody can fill time, it's Bob.
It just showed Bob for the first time. He's currently previewing everything.
What's he wearing today?
He's wearing a nice long sleeve, white spotted dress shirt.
Yeah.
As well as a red shirt as well, a red vest.
He's wearing two shirts.
Well, he's wearing the shirt and he's wearing the vest over top of it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought Bob was trying to pull off the two shirt look, which would have been interesting.
We are moments away from Mike Tomlin.
Yes, we are. Just moments away from Mike Tomlin. Also, the Jets have a really good kick returner, and though the Steelers' special teams were very good overall last season, the kick return was an issue. Their kickoff coverage was very bad. Can you imagine if the only touchdown in this game limits?
All right, Joe, here we go.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go.
Good afternoon. Really excited about getting our season started against the New York Jets. Before I get into those guys, I'll give you a quick injury update. Thankfully, as we sit here today, and really just based on the structure of the preseason and how it's set up, it's done so that we all get an opportunity to kind of move into the season as healthy as possible. Not having a game last week, obviously, last weekend helps that. Derek Harmon is the only guy at this juncture that I would characterize as out. I would characterize Herbick as questionable. He had a really good day yesterday, and so we'll leave the door ajar for him and see where work leads us during the course of the week. Certainly, his participation and the quality of his participation will be the key variables in terms of our decision-making, whether or not we choose to use him or not. Other than those two instances, man, we're largely a healthy group. Certainly had some bumps and bruises associated with preseason work, and some people have been non-participants in games, some of it due to injury, some of it due to precaution. Some of those guys have been working their way back, Alex Highsmith, for example, and others, but we don't anticipate any of those guys' availability being in any way questionable. You can include Calvin Austin, for example, in that discussion, and so we got a relatively healthy group, excited about that. We had some really good quality work yesterday, getting the weekend off of us, working on some football conditioning, some base football things, things that are us, some things that are base New York. And so with that, I'll get into talking about New York. Certainly there's some challenges in week one, schematic personality, division of labor, agenda, if you will. I think it gets magnified sometimes when you have a new staff, and particularly a new staff with first-time coordinators, like on the offensive side of the ball for them. But to be quite honest with you, if you've been in this business any length of time, it's almost kind of commonplace with this time of year. We were very much in the same circumstance 12 months ago, leaning in on week one. We were getting ready to play the Falcons. They had a new staff, a first-time offensive play caller, and so we had to do some speculating there. And so it certainly is a challenge, but not one that's unfamiliar with this time of year. There's enough, obviously, for us to work on, and the component of week one football is not necessarily about who you play, but how you play, the quality of our play, the cleanliness, the technical expertise, the minimizing of penalties and things of that nature oftentimes determine quality performance in week one. And so make no mistake, we got a lot of respect for the challenges of preparing for and then ultimately playing the Jets. But like most people in week one, our focus is the quality of our work, the quality of our play, our division of labor, our ability to display situational knowledge and execute and make quality plays within them circumstances, et cetera. That being said, I'll start talking about the Jet offense. Man, you got to start first with their running game. Man, they got a deep and talented backfield led by Hall and Allen. If you look at the history of their staff, those two kind of represent maybe what Gibbs and Montgomery represented to the Detroit Lions. And so we've been looking at it through that lens. Make no mistake, they're both very capable. Allen really burst onto the scene, I thought, a year ago as a rookie out of Wisconsin. He's got a downhill run demeanor and style. The pile always seems to fall in the direction that he desires it to. Breece Hall is multi-talented. He can run inside. He can run outside. He had a lot of explosion plays a year ago on the perimeter. He's good out of the backfield in the passing game, check downs, but beyond check downs in one-on-one matchups and so forth, aligned outside of the backfield. He's displayed that skill set, and so we certainly got to be ready for that component of play. He broke a check down for 57 or so yards on us last year. That really kind of changed the complexion of that game early on when we had already had an anticipation of his talents in that area and he was still able to deliver. And so their running backs and their commitment to the running game, I think Coach Glenn has been very transparent about their desire to run the football and their commitment to doing so. And so that has our attention as we prepare. You can't talk about the run game without talking about Justin's physical abilities in that area and the challenges that it may present to us. Certainly, he didn't do a lot of running by design and so forth in the preseason, but it's reasonable to expect there to be some design running game. He had it in Chicago. He had it with us. I think if you got a guy with his type of talents, it's somewhat common sense to have some design run game for the quarterback position to make people play 11-on-11 football. And so certainly, his unique running abilities and skills in that area has our attention, whether it's design runs or ad lib, if you will. You can't talk about the run game without including his unique talents in that area. In the passing game, certainly, Garrett Wilson is a talented and emerging player, one that has an extended relationship with Justin going back to college, and so we have respect for not only his talents, but their relationship that extends beyond the current team development. I would imagine that a lot of the passing offense and so forth is going to go through him. I've heard a lot of quality reports about Mason Taylor, a guy at the tight end position I think they took in the second round. He was highly regarded in the draft as a capable vertical threat, a major component probably to any passing game, and certainly have heard really good things about his development in this team development process. And so we got to be cognizant of what he's capable of for sure. But they got a collection of other guys, Lazard and others, man, that have been around, Reynolds, who got NFL experience and certainly, are to be respected in terms of the schematic component of playing matchup football and minimizing that component of play for them. They are in their venue. And so, you know, we got some things to manage in terms of that, their ability to communicate at the line of scrimmage and make checks, and us being in position to do similar things if they get into some check football. Venue is a component this time of year, and certainly they'll have that at their disposal if they want to get in and out of stuff at the line. And so even though it's week one, we better carry enough schematics to match that potential strategy from a defensive perspective. Looking at the Jets defense, first of all, Steve Wilks has been around a long time. I've competed him against him a lot. Arthur Smith has competed against him a lot. When he was in Carolina, Arthur was in Atlanta, for example, and thinking 2022. But Steve has been in the North. He was in Cleveland, I think, in 19. He has a mode of operation, one that is highly respected. He's an experienced guy. He's going to be aggressive and fundamentally sound. He'll do a nice job of utilizing the players' individual talents and putting them in position to win and being multiple. But taking a step back from all of that, just looking at their people, man, they've invested a lot in their men up front. Certainly, Quinnen Williams is a top-tier talent on the inside, former first-rounder. But you can say that also about their edge people. Will McDonald was a highly regarded first-rounder. Jermaine Johnson was a highly regarded first-rounder. And so you've seen the draft investment from an organization's perspective in terms of producing a quality front. More recently, they've added Big Harrison in team development via a trade from Minnesota. And so you see that they've made a commitment to providing a quality level of talent up front that others play behind. Think a great deal about their linebacker tandem, Sherwood and Williams, man. They're talented, an emerging homegrown group, if you will, particularly as it pertains to Sherwood, man. He's grown up. I think he's a former fifth-round pick that's kind of evolved over his time in New York and been rewarded for that evolution with a big contract. And that linebacker tandem, that second-level linebacker tandem, man, has played a lot of ball together. They both were highly productive a year ago. I'd imagine that to continue to grow and prosper. In the secondary, obviously, Sauce Gardner is a top-flight bump corner, a first-round acquisition, a top draft pick, if you will. They've acquired Stevens, who obviously we're familiar with from his time in Baltimore, to play opposite of him. And so they got a quality veteran corner tandem. They got Cisco, who's new at safety, and so they got some top quality talent at all three levels. They got a coordinator in Steve Wilks that's been doing it a long time and at a high level. And couple that with the fact that obviously Coach Glenn has a defensive background, and I'm certain that he'll have some involvement and create some speculation issues for us, particularly in week one, as I mentioned at the beginning. There's some speculation associated with this time of year, and the things that he might bring to what they do defensively is something that is a topic of discussion. And so we got a lot to talk about. We have some planning of our own. We got some physical work ahead to ready our guys and to further divide our labor up, particularly situationally. And so we got a bunch of decisions to make, but such is life this time of year, particularly on a Tuesday. But we love all of that. It's awesome to be here. It's awesome to get this regular season started. And with that, I'll pause and open up for questions.
Cam to play, and because of how limited he made himself in the preseason, is he ready to play?
I'm certainly expecting Cam to play. Cam doesn't play a lot in team development over the last several years. My job is to get him in and out of Latrobe, and I've done my job. And so there are no reservations about his participation or his readiness. I'm sure he's chopping at the bit.
Mike, without Harmon, when you go at base, who's going to take his place?
You know, it's going to be a committee of people, but I would imagine it would have been a committee of people if he were available. We generally play a lot of D linemen, particularly early in the season, due to lack of conditioning and potential heat and so forth. And so not only us, but I just think globally speaking, this time of year, most teams play a lot of bigs up front defensively so that fatigue doesn't become a factor, particularly down the stretch in the football game.
Mike, you guys, Justin Fields and Breece Hall, two talented runners. you guys, other teams had success with like the QB option run a lot last year against you guys. What do you guys need to do better so that if the Jets do bring that out, that you guys are better equipped this time?
You know, I don't tote last year's bags. That's just an agenda that needs to be addressed this year in 2025. Quarterback mobility and the design run game component is a component of today's game. We've done things at a lot of levels to further strengthen ourselves. The acquisition of Derek Harmon and Y.A. Black being two components of it, but others. And we certainly have some schematic things up our sleeve that I won't disclose in this setting. But I just think that each and every year, particularly in today's game, the way it's trending, quarterback mobility, the design run game, the situational design run game associated with it is something that, you know, 31 other defenses better be ready to address and planning for as well.
Mike, what's unique about the way Fields does it compared to others?
You know, compared to who? He's unique because he is who he is. You know, he's stronger than most mobile quarterbacks. That's a component of his game that I think is unique. He's a really talented guy physically. He's not easy to bring down. He's got a real solid base about him. He's big. And so, you know, when I think about what might be different, I think about his unique physical skill set. But in terms of schematics, I don't know that, you know, the things that they do are going to be uniquely different from others. I think there's some global things that people do in that area.
Is it any different preparing and game planning for a guy that started games for you last season?
Not really, to be quite honest with you. I just think it's a lot of that in today's game. People move around. I'd imagine, you know, they're pondering similar things on the other side, and so from that perspective, it'll be fair.
Mike, you're going into the season relatively healthy, only two guys that you've mentioned today, but a lot of these starters not playing in the preseason. How challenging is it? You know, obviously you have them healthy, but how challenging is it for them to go into the season ready to go without having lack of support?
It's not challenging. I base my decisions basically off of shared experiences in a lot of ways. Cam, for example, he and I have been together a lot of years. He's logged a bunch of snaps, and so his runway required to take off is short relative to others. TJ had that big game in the opener, I think, in 21 in Buffalo when he had a holdout, and he had two sacks, sack fumble, and things of that nature. And so you go through things with people, and you learn what they can manage in terms of readiness. And so, you know, my job is to be fair to everyone, not treat everyone the same. And that's why the schedule of work is different for different people in team development, so that your question is somewhat mute. Based on my shared experiences, I have a great deal of comfort in the prescribed plan for each individual guy, whether they participated or didn't in game in the team development process.
Mike, you guys announced your captains for the season yesterday. What does it say about Aaron Rodgers and the way that he's acclimated and started to lead this team that he was the one selected for the offense?
You know, I don't think anybody's surprised by that, not only because of his resume and experience, but what he's displayed since he's been here in terms of being a great team guy and communicating and leading and sharing his experience and the lens through which he sees the game with others. It's just been a good process, and so I don't think that was earth-shattering in any way within our collective.
Imagine the speculation you have this time of year. In your experience, how quickly does that speculation go away, especially having seen some of the starters?
Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you play, you know, not only week one, but in some instances week two and week three. I think really until people get a big enough body of work on tape where you can see some things, trends, if you will, and have a large enough sample size that you can speak with great certainty, speculation is going to exist. Speculation, in a lot of ways, exists through September.
Because of that, and the new guys you have, I'm sorry, because of that, and the new guys, all you've brought in, do you have a good handle in your mind what you have to put out there against the Jets?
I do.
It looks like Kelvin Austin is filling that wide receiver two role. Just how confident are you in him?
I'm extremely confident in him, but I'm also equally confident in Roman Wilson and, you know, and Jonnu and Freiermuth. I think, you know, there's a lot of speculations and narratives about a quote-unquote number two, and I just think in today's game it comes at you in a lot of ways. We certainly have unique depth and talent at the tight end position, and particularly, in reference to new acquisitions. Jonnu is somewhat of a positionless player. Calvin is growing and has grown and made big strides a year ago. We've been really excited about Roman Wilson and team development, and so I'm less concerned about quote-unquote who occupies the number two position. It could be a variety of people depending on the circumstance. One thing is for certain, a talent like DK, you know, dictates a lot of schematics, and so his presence is going to provide opportunities for others, whether it's Calvin, Roman, Jonnu, Freiermuth. It's not a big issue for me or for us.
With the absence of preseason game reps, not having a lot of those, especially for the new components that you brought in, the team building aspect that you had starting in March through the draft and the trades you've made in summertime, do you have a sense that the vision of what that roster, what those X's and O's schematics are supposed to look like, can come together?
For us?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm completely comfortable. We do a lot of work not only in stadium, in team development. I'm comfortable with what I've seen and how we've divided the labor up and our plans in that area, certainly.
What are the challenges that you've had to face each of the last five seasons, bringing in a new quarterback to start the season with a different guy?
You know, I don't know that I've wasted any time looking at it from that perspective. I just, you know, I've got there's challenges that come with my role each and every year, and I get hyper-focused on those challenges, and I don't know that I compare it to a larger discussion, if you will. There's certainly challenges when you got new people at that position being on the same page, supporting and developing leadership, depending on, you know, where you are with it. You know, you support a guy with Aaron's experience from a leadership perspective. You develop leadership with a guy like Will Howard, for example. And so I'm more focused on those things as I am the larger discussion that has been 4 or 5 years of it. I hadn't looked at it through that lens.
Did it help when you had, to your point, you had a veteran like Russell and then Aaron when you bring in them?
Again, I hadn't looked at it from that perspective.
Understanding that it's week one, what are you expecting to see from your offense this week?
You know, I like to see a lot of points in a W, you know, sincerely. But what produces that? Minimizing negative plays, minimizing self-inflicted wounds, penalties, things that get you off schedule, winning possession down football. I'm sure I'm looking for the same thing that 31 other head coaches are looking for in week one from their offensive units.
Yesterday signed a contract extension. What stands out about the way that he's worked to go from a UDFA to now running back one, and how do you imagine you'll divide the labor within that room?
You know, his progress, I think, has been very evident, and he's to be congratulated. That guy has gone from an undrafted, as you mentioned, to getting second contract business, and certainly he's been deserving of that. Certainly he'll be our featured runner, but we're not opposed, obviously, to utilizing Kenny G and Caleb, and I'm sure you'll see them. At what time and to what degree will be determined how the game unfolds, and probably somewhat determined week to week based on a myriad of variables. But certainly proud and happy for Jalen and excited that we're going to do extended business with him.
Mike, do you have a sense for what this game means for Aaron to start out going back into MetLife and playing his old team?
You know, I don't, because he's just been doing it so long. I'm sure he's capable of compartmentalizing that. If it means anything to him more than a normal game, he probably wouldn't tell you. And so, you know, we're going to go play football.
Mike, can you give us a scouting report on his physical prowess?
Aaron's?
Nobody's seen him in the public yet.
You know, his arm talent is unbelievable, not only in terms of arm strength and accuracy, but his ability to release the ball from a variety of places. You know, his game management expertise and experience is very evident. His line of scrimmage play, weaponizing of cadences, et cetera. His above-the-neck game is very unique. It's been a good process. But the proof is in the pudding. I'm sure he's excited about getting into a stadium with us and quarterbacking for us, and I know I'm excited about seeing it.
For that group in the preseason when they're not on the field together against another team in a game situation?
You don't.
So where does the confidence that they're going to be able to sort of hit the ground running, where does that
I'm generally a confident person anyway, And I see them work every day. And that daily work leads to in-stadium performance. Do I have confidence about what they're capable of in-stadium? I'd be making it up. None of us have seen our guys in-stadium. And so I just think that that's something that we all manage this time of year. And so I might not be answering your question there, but that's just the realities of this business. I think there's some speculation and some not knowing this time of year. You can hide under your desk or you can be confident. I choose to, you know, base my posture on what I've seen from a prep standpoint, and I've been really comfortable with what I've seen.
You faced a new coaching staff in the opener. Can you look at the lines last year, the preseason, and think you are pretty confident about the way they're going to look schematically, or do you have to assume some curveballs are coming and be led on your feet?
I think it's appropriate to assume that there's some unforeseen things, certainly.
What is the specific challenge of preparing that way composed to pose the way you normally would construct a regular season?
To be honest with you, it's not overly unique. That was the point I was making in the opening. It occurs quite a bit this time of year. There are new staffs every year. They play somebody week one. It just happens to be us. There are several new staffs this year. It just so happens that we've seen it 2 years in a row. But if you've been in this business any period of time, it's a component of week one football.
I spoke about camps.
Brand new secondary. How set are you on the way those players will rotate, or how much will that kind of work itself out throughout the first couple games?
Pretty set.
Cam's state of readiness physically, from a mental standpoint, is he locked in and have everything else compartmentalized, to use that word?
I'll let him speak for himself in that regard.
Mike, Cam played by 800 snaps last year. If possible, would you like to pull back on some of those, knowing that he's 36 now?
I think sometimes when you're sitting in comfortable seats and you're undefeated and it's week zero, you can talk about some of those things. But sometimes participation is dictated by necessity. Who else is available and so forth. And that's just the reality of this business. I've been in it long enough to see it with those sober eyes. Sometimes it might not have anything to do with Cam. It's about others. Derek Harmon's lack of availability, for example, if that was extended, that oftentimes would bleed over into Cam's participation or increased participation. That's the reality, you know, kind of this business. And when you talk about dividing the labor up, none of these things happen in a vacuum. Sometimes it's what's going on around people that dictates their amount of participation, whether it's increased or decreased.
In the end, Mike, how hard was it to walk away from the idea of Justin Fields as the quarterback this year?
You know, it's free agency. It was not only our decision, it was his decision. And so it was mutual. There's a lot of moving parts in free agency. And so I wouldn't present it in the manner in which you asked it.
Anyone else? All right.
Thanks, guys.
Very interesting. Was that Benzie off the top rope at the end again?
It was on Fields, yeah.
All right. Well, the story's Cam Hayward. And the first question came from Jerry Dulac. And I thought it was asked sort of in the context of, is he physically ready to play? Not in the context of Cam just said on his podcast, asked if he'll be ready to play in week one, we'll see. That's different than saying, is he physically ready to go? So Tomlin said, I'm certainly expecting Cam to play. My job is to get him into and out of Latrobe. I did my job there. No reservations about his participation. I'm sure he's chomping at the bit. I don't think chomping or champing, whatever it is, I still don't know that phrase, at the bit sort of jibes with what Cam said on his podcast Limits. Why don't we hear both those quotes back to back?
I'm sure he's chomping at the bit.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I don't think A and B go together there,
no.
Do they?
No,
I want to hear that back to back again, chomping at the bit, and we'll see, basically saying, we'll see if I play in week one. That quote from Cam's podcast dropped this morning. So those two don't go together. Listen, I've been in those rooms many, many times. I think if I was asking the question, I would have said just that. Cam said on his own podcast, when he was asked if he'll play in week one, we'll see. What do you make of that? Is he going to play? That doesn't jibe with chomping at the bit. I want to hear those two back to back again, please, Limits. You did a wonderful job there.
It's an A and B conversation. You could see your way out.
I'm sure he's chomping at the bit.
We'll see.
I love the way Cam phrases that. We'll see.
He's got that soft undertone to him.
Right.
Where it's just like, yeah.
So, we'll see. All right.
Maybe.
That's the story to me. There were plenty of others in there, but that's the story, is that Tomlin just didn't give the idea that he wouldn't play. He said, you know, basically, mentally, is he ready to go? I think that was Benzie off the top rope again. He said, I'll let him speak for himself in that regard. Of course, Cam isn't speaking for himself these days. Nobody can find him in the locker room to ask him a question. The only thing we've seen is what dropped on the podcast, which was, we'll see. That was it.
Right, anything else we need to know before this game Sunday? I guess the main question too, will Cam Hayward be out there?
We'll see.
I'm sorry, but that's sort of a story. And we'll see, I guess. I didn't even mean that the way it came out there. But we will see starting tomorrow if he's not there or if he's not participating.
I think Thursday is going to be the biggest day as well. I mean, even if they give him that vet's day off, which why would you give it to him in the first week of the season? But the Steeler depth chart has also come out as well, Joe. And at wide receiver, it's DK Metcalf, Calvin Austin. Next up, Scotty Miller, Roman Wilson, Ben Skowronek listed as the fifth wide receiver. How about Scotty Miller climbing his way up in the world?
Scotty ball game. I did notice that on the depth chart, the Steelers list 12 starters on offense and 12 on defense. Maybe the extra starter gets them a playoff win this year, limits. They're going with 12 on each side of the ball.
Here's
Connor Hayward listed as a starter at fullback.
Here's what's interesting to me, though, Joe. They have Pat Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith listed as starters, and then Darnell Washington is his own starting spot. Wouldn't you think that it would be Freiermuth and Jonnu in their own starting spots and then Darnell Washington behind one of them?
I don't know. I don't know, limits. I guess that would make 13 starters, so maybe they'll win two playoff games. That's a huge advantage.
Something else to note, Caleb Johnson is the backup kick returner. Scotty Miller, the backup punt returner to Calvin Austin.
Yeah.
Kenneth Gainwell listed as the starting kick returner.
Well, the Jets have a really good kick returner. So, as I was saying before the conference, imagine if they won the game on a special teams touchdown. All right, there's a lot more to talk about. Jaylen Warren, for example, will come back with Tomlin's quote on him, which I found very interesting and not entirely accurate, I might add, with his new contract. And Brian Batko, is he joining us next or at the top of the hour, limits?
He'll join us next.
Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. I'm assuming he was live on site for the Tomlin news. No, he wasn't live on site.
He was listening with us.
He heard it just like we did.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Tomlin's first news conference of the year is in the books. And it was a barn burner. I had to laugh when he opened the Jets offense by saying, I got to start first with their running game. He wasn't going to start with the quarterback. Nobody else would either, I don't think. Brian Batko joins us via the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And also on our YouTube channel, which is growing, it really is, exponentially. And you should go to YouTube and find us. You can also find us through our own website, and it'll link you up. You can subscribe. It don't cost anything. Don't cost nothing, as they say, Brian. How are you today? Good?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Joe. I'm wearing this Duke hat in honor of UNC's ridiculous defeat last night at the hands of TCU, just to rub it in even more.
Man,
the Tar Heels.
That was fun to watch. The story of the day, Brian, is Cam Hayward. And we're going to play for you Cam's own podcast. He's not talking to you guys. He can't be found in the locker room these days to talk about his situation, which I guess we kind of thought was quietly resolved or something, that there wouldn't be much more drama. Well, there's drama. Adam Schefter said there would be. Just last week, or this past week, yesterday on the McAfee show, he said, this isn't done. Let's see if he shows up Wednesday. I didn't think too much of that. But then Cam's own podcast dropped today. Limits, why don't you take Brian Batko and our listeners through this?
This is the Not Just Football podcast here. So first, the co-host Hayden Walsh asked if there is anything going on with the contract right now.
Any other news we want to report on? Anything about you going on? Everything good with you?
Nope.
before I moved to college football?
Nothing to talk about.
And about 20 minutes later, so Brian, maybe half an hour later, it gets brought up again by Hayden Walsh, and Hayward says this.
Right, anything else we need to know before this game Sunday? I guess the main question too, will Cam Hayward be out there?
We'll see.
We'll see, Brian. We'll see is the best the team captain can do today on whether he's going to show up and play in the first game of the season. Now, Tomlin was asked about it, and I believe he said Cam is chomping at the bit. Those two quotes don't go together, as you'll hear right now.
I'm sure he's chomping at the bit.
We'll see.
Brian, your take. What is happening here?
First of all, wonderful production by City Limits there on a quick turnaround from Tomlin, because I thought the same thing. Cam very much made it a point to not be chomping or champing at the bit on that one. The nope, when asked about any updates, was like, sounded like when my wife is in a bad mood and mad at me. Nope, nothing, exactly. Nothing new. Okay, so obviously he wasn't mad at his co-host, but he was mad at the situation is what I'm inferring there. So, yeah, I mean, this is kind of how these things always go, right? The player, it wouldn't be a leverage or negotiation tactic if you didn't sort of bluff all the way up until you can't bluff anymore, right? So I think that's the we'll see aspect of this. But if you just say, yeah, I'll be out there, then you lose all ground that you had to stand
but
on.
He's been out there. That's why the story died down. The twist on this is that he ended his hold in and he's been out there, and now there's a big mystery going into tomorrow.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you're like me, Joe, and Limits might be like us too. We have so much useless crap floating around our brains that I can't remember what I did yesterday, let alone last week. But I feel like when you asked me about it, I said I wasn't making any predictions one way or the other on what this meant, that Cam was back in pads and if the hold-in is over. Because I just said he's been too sort of random and unpredictable through this thing all along. I mean, it was the timing was weird from the beginning of when it got leaked to Schefter, who clearly is the preferred vessel of the Hayward representation in this whole deal. So at least in trying to get the message out to the public, for whatever that means. But yeah, I didn't necessarily take it as, okay, this just quietly died. If anything, he was positioning himself in a different way. Again, I don't necessarily know the meaning of it, because he doesn't have any desire to talk with us after practice. I mean, we can find him, we can get in touch with him, we can't make him talk and say stuff. So yeah, I don't know what to make of it other than I'm pretty sure he's going to be out there week one. If he says that, he loses any leverage if he had any to begin with. And Tomlin's always the guy who kind of plays good cop in these situations and, you know, waves it away as nothing to see here. Everything's fine. I'm sure, I'm confident. He's a confident person in general, Joe.
I did hear that. I thought that our colleague, you can read Brian Bacco's stuff at postgazette.com. I thought Jerry's initial question, the first question in the news conference, was phrased in such a way that Tomlin could have taken it as, will Cam be physically ready to play? It wasn't couched in, listen, things have seemingly reached ahead here. Cam says, we'll see about him playing. It wasn't asked that way. So later on, Tomlin was asked about Cam's mental state, and he said, you'll have to ask him about that. So I guess here's my next question, Brian.
Well, it's a good little runaround, is it, that everybody can do this thing where you ask other people about Cam, and they say, go ask Cam, and then Cam is not available to be asked, so then you ask someone about him,
right?
And they say, well, I can't speak for Cam, and then, you know, it's kind of just this endless loop.
Who's on first? Yes, exactly. from Cam and his from Cam. Let's try to get inside Cam's head, heart, and mind here.
Okay.
I couched this earlier as, now I think he's put himself in a position, because he said, I can't justify, or I'm having a hard time justifying playing on this salary. Is he going to follow through on that if he doesn't get any type of sweetener here? Is he going to have the conviction to follow through? And I'm weighing that against the desire to be liked, to be admired, to be revered by the fan base. In other words, what am I going to do to my reputation if I follow through on my convictions here? That's how I see Cam's dilemma. Do you agree? Do you see it that way?
Yeah, and I think we've been having that discussion since this all first broke in about a month ago, because even letting that leak out there damaged, at least temporarily, I think, how a lot of Steelers fans feel about him. And the best case scenario here is for everybody is that they hammer something out, they come to that agreement, and, you know, next time Cam addresses it, it's, yeah, I always wanted to be here, of course, but business is business. You have to do and say certain things. That's just how the game goes. And you know, everybody sings Kumbaya at the end of the day, and he goes out and sacks Justin Fields and it bats a pass or two, and the Steelers beat the Jets, and it's onward and upward. That's the best case scenario. But again, that's still a big if of whether they do find some common ground, and they tend to. And I think Cam, if I'm just reading between the lines and, like you said, trying to get in his head, I'm thinking he probably thought it would be easy and simple to do this, whereas the Steelers either disagree or they just don't want to make it look like they're acquiescing to any player. But I think, again, and I've said this on the show too, Joe, is it gets done. The Steelers can say from their side, this isn't just any player. This is Cam Hayward, Walter Payton, man of the year, longest tenured Steeler, homegrown Steeler. So no, we won't do this for everybody, but we did this for him.
Well, it's getting awfully late. So
yeah,
your educated guess is that it will work out. How? That they give him a little sweetener? Some people talking about $5-6 million. Might it just be a couple million? Or will they say, no, you're not getting anything, and force Cam's hand here? Call his bluff, I guess, is the better phrase. How does this play out?
I don't think they'll call his bluff. I don't think they'll draw a line in the sand here. I think they'll give him a little bit more, further justify, you know, playing on that deal, which is, of course, team friendly. But, you know, from a GM's perspective, which, you know, we'll try to get an Omar Khan psyche here too. The whole point of doing his job is to get team friendly deals and to be forward thinking and have the foresight to say, okay, this is going to work out great for us if this dude bounces back and overcomes that injury ridden season and balls out. Now we're in really good shape here. And from Cam's standpoint, I really can't see him missing a game. So that kind of wipes away that leverage. But Chris Jones did it a few years ago with the Chiefs. That would be the Cam blueprint.
Yeah.
If there was one, I suppose. So yeah, it still continues to be an interesting drama filled storyline here. And the last thing I'll say, and I've written this in my mailbag too at the PG, is I think the one thing you got to remember about Cam is he is a perpetually aggrieved, chip on his shoulder type of guy, and that's who you want on the field. But he doesn't necessarily just turn that switch off when it comes down to these negotiations. He still feels like, I'm worth more than this, pay me.
Let's continue the conversation next. We'll get to Jaylen Warren's situation as well and Tomlin's quote on him. 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Brian Bacco on The Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service. Listen to the Pomp and Joe Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And it's cloudy today with a high of Broderick Jones, 77. Great weather for Bob to golf later today. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.